Okay, we're continuing chapter 19 of Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. They had barely reached the door of Professor McGonagall's office.
No, you can do that again.
They had barely reached the door of Professor McGonagall's office when she came marching along the corridor behind them. She was wearing a Gryffindor scarf, but tore it from her throat with shaking hands as she strode furiously toward them, looking livid. "In," she said, pointing to the door. Harry and George entered. She strode around behind her desk and faced them, quivering with rage as she threw the Gryffindor scarf aside onto the floor. "Well," she said, "I've never seen such a disgraceful exhibition. 2 into 1? Explain yourselves." "Malfoy provoked us," said Harry stiffly. "Provoked you?" shouted Professor McGonagall, slamming a fist onto her desk, so that her tartan biscuit tin slid sideways off it and burst open, littering the floor with ginger newts. "He'd just lost, hadn't he? Of course he wanted to provoke you. But what on earth could he have said that justified what you two?" "He insulted my parents," snarled George, "and Harry's mother." "But instead of leaving it to Madame Hooch to sort out, you two decided to give an exhibition of muggle dueling, did you?" bellowed Professor McGonagall. Have you any idea what you..." Harry and George both spun around. Dolores Umbridge was standing in the doorway, wrapped in a green tweed cloak that greatly enhanced her resemblance to a giant toad, and smiling in the horribly sickly, ominous way that Harry had come to associate with imminent misery. "May I help, Professor McGonagall?" asked Professor Umbridge in the most poisonously sweet voice. Blood rushed into Professor McGonagall's face. "Help," she repeated in a constricted voice. "What do you mean, help?" Professor Umbridge moved forward in the office, still smiling her sickly smile. "Why, I thought you might have been grateful for a little extra authority." Harry would not have been surprised to see sparks fly from Professor McGonagall's nostrils. "You thought wrong," she said, turning back to her back on Umbridge. "Now you two had better listen closely. I do not care what provocation Malfoy offered you. I do not care if he insulted every family member you possess. Your behavior was disgusting, and I'm giving you each a week's worth of detention. Do not look at me like that. Potter, you deserve it. If either of you has ever..." "Yes," Professor McGonagall closed her eyes, as though praying for patience, as she turned to face Professor Umbridge again. "I think they deserve rather more than detention," said Umbridge, still smiling more broadly. Professor McGonagall's eyes flew open. "But unfortunately," she said, with an attempt at a reciprocal smile that made her look as though she had lockjaw, "it is what I think that counts, as they are in my house, Dolores." "Well, actually, Minerva," simpered Umbridge, "I think you'll find that what I think does count. Now, where is it? Cornelius just sent it. I mean," she gave a little false laugh as she rummaged in her handbag, "the minister just sent it. Ah, yes." She had just pulled a piece of parchment that she now unfurled, clearing her throat fussily before she started to read what it said. "Educational degree number 25. "Not another one," exclaimed Professor McGonagall violently. "Well, yes," said Professor Umbridge, still smiling. "As a matter of fact, Minerva, it was you who made me see that we needed a further amendment. You remember how you overrode me when I was unwilling to allow the Gryffindor Quidditch team to reform? How you took your case to Dumbledore, who insisted the team be allowed to play? Well, now I couldn't have that. I contacted the minister at once, and he quite agreed with me that the High Inquisitor has to leave the power to strip pupils of privileges. Or she, that is to say I, would have less authority than common teachers. As you see now, don't you, Minerva, how right I was in attempting to stop the Gryffindor team reforming? Dreadful tempers. Anyway, I was reading out our amendment. The High Inquisitor will henceforth have supreme authority over all punishments, sanctions, and removal of privileges pertaining to the students of Hogwarts, and the power to alter such punishments, sanctions, and removal of privileges as may have been ordered by their staff members. Signed, Cornelius Fudge, Minister of Magic, Order of Merlin, First Class, etc., etc." She rolled up the parchment and put it back in her handbag, still smiling. So, I really think that I'll have to ban these two from playing Quidditch ever again, she said, looking from Harry to George and back again. Harry felt the snitch fluttering madly in his hand. Ban us, he said, and his voice sounded strangely distant. From playing ever again? Yes, Mr. Potter, I think a lifetime ban ought to do the trick. And Umbridge, her smile widening still further as she watched him struggle to comprehend what she had just said. You and Mr. Weasley here. And I think, to be safe, the young man's twin ought to be stopped, too. If his teammates had not restrained him, I feel sure he would have attacked young Mr. Malfoy as well. I want the broomsticks confiscated, of course. I shall keep them safely in my office to make sure there's no infringement of my ban. But I'm not unreasonable, Professor McGonagall, she continued, turning back to Professor McGonagall, who was now standing as still as though carved from ice, staring at her. The rest of the team can continue playing. I saw no sign of violence from any of them. Well, good afternoon to you. With a horrified look of the utmost satisfaction, Umbridge left the room, leaving a horrified silence in her wake. You know, I don't know how she could take the broomsticks, because they own them. Like, if there's any semblance of private property in this, you know, country, but... Should we continue? Banned, said Angelina in a hollow voice late that evening in the common room. Banned? No seekers and no beaters? What on earth are we going to do? It didn't look as though they had won the match at all. Everywhere Harry looked, there were disconsolate and angry faces. The team themselves were slumped around the fire, all apart from Ron, who had not been seen since the end of the match. It's just so unfair, said Alicia numbly. I mean, what about Crabbe and the bludger he had after the whistle had been blown? Has she banned him? No, said Ginny miserably. She and Hermione were sitting on either side of Harry. He just got lines. I heard Montague laughing about it at dinner. And banning Fred when he didn't do anything? Said Alicia furiously, pummeling her knee with her fist. It's not my fault I didn't, said Fred, with a very ugly look on his face. I would have pounded the little scumbag to a pulp if you three hadn't been holding me back. Harry stared miserably at the dark window. Snow was falling. The snitch he'd caught earlier was now zooming around and around the common room. People were watching it progress through as though hypnotized, and Crookshanks was leaping from chair to chair, trying to catch it. I'm going to bed, said Angelina, getting slowly to her feet. Maybe this will all turn out to have been a bad dream. Maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and find we haven't played yet. She was soon followed by Alicia and Katie. Fred and George sloped off to bed sometime later, glowering at everyone they passed, and Ginny went not long after that. Only Hermione and Harry were left beside the fire. Have you seen Ron? Hermione asked in a low voice. Harry shook his head. I think he's avoiding us, said Hermione. What do you think he... But at that precise moment, there was a creaking sound from behind them, as the fat lady swung forward and Ron came clambering through the portrait hole. He was very pale indeed, and there was snow in his hair. When he saw Harry and Hermione, he stopped dead in his tracks. Where have you been? Hermione, I said anxiously. Springing up, walking, Ron mumbled. He was still wearing his Quidditch things. You look frozen, said Hermione. Come and sit down. Ron walked to the fireside and sank into the chair farthest from Harry's, not looking at him. The stolen snitch zoomed over their heads. I'm sorry, Ron mumbled, looking at his feet. What for? Said Harry. For thinking I can play Quidditch, said Ron. I'm going to resign the first thing tomorrow morning. If you resign, said Harry testily, there'll only be three players left on the team. And when Ron looked puzzled, he said, I've been given a lifetime ban. So have Fred and George. What? Ron yelped, and Hermione told him the full story. Harry couldn't bear to tell it again. When she had finished, Ron looked more anguished than ever. This is all my fault. You didn't make me punch Malfoy, said Harry angrily. Buffin's so lousy at Quidditch, Ron said. It's got nothing to do with that. It was that song that wound me up. It would have wound anyone up, Harry said. Hermione got up and walked to the window, away from the argument, watching the snow swirling down on the pane. Look, drop it, will you? Harry burst out. It's bad enough without you blaming yourself for everything. Ron said nothing, but sat gazing miserably into the damp hem of his robes. After a while, he said in a dull voice, "This is the worst I've ever felt in my life." "Join the club," said Harry bitterly. "Well," Hermione said, her voice trembling slightly.
"They're kind of melodramatic."
"They are." Considering that Harry almost died several times.
And saw Cedric die.
Yep.
So for that to be the worst he's ever felt is okay.
So Hermione said, "I can think of one thing that might cheer you both up." "Oh yeah," said Harry skeptically. "Yeah," said Hermione, turning away from the pitch-black, snow-flecked window. A broad smile spreading across her face. Hagrid's back.
Aww.
And that's the end of chapter 19. And next we'll read chapter 20 called Hagrid's Tale.
Yay.
I hope you like that, my kitten. You're a sweet kitten boo, aren't you? I love you so much. Good night, baby.